The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, so Blake Bortles is back in the NFL after being released from the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's going to be a backup in L.A. with the Rams and Sean McVay. The Rams kind of made a nice little Twitter announcement about it. Bortles is getting a one-year deal, backup Jared Goff. Just another example that if you start in this league, if you've got some experience being a starting quarterback and significant time playing as a starter in this league, that's currency that's going to get used. I mean, these guys don't ever get thrown out of the league for bad performances. I mean, if you can play, if you've played in this league, even if your statistics are bad, you don't win games and you get released, you'll find a job in this league. There's just not that many people that can play NFL quarterback, even on a bad level. And by bad level, I mean better than 99.999% of the world's population. I mean, everything is relative, right? I mean, you may be the tallest person in a room full of short people. You may be only 5'10", right? When we talk about bad quarterbacks in the NFL, we're still talking about some of the most elite level athletes that are on the face of the globe. And they may not be productive and they may not be good, but let me tell you, when you're looking at a talent pool that's very, very thin, these guys are never out of the league for very long. And it's something that people always think when they say, oh, that he'll never work again in this league. You know, he will work again in this league. That it's just a matter of time before they get another job. But the reality of it is that especially when you're looking for just a backup, you're really not looking for somebody that is, you know, going to take your, that's going to be the equivalent to your starter. Otherwise, he'd be a starter. You're looking for somebody that just sort of helps keep the ship afloat the best they possibly can until you figure out what you want to do going forward, whether you're going to take over the starting job or they're going to sign somebody else or whatever. And right now, that's where Blake Bortles' career is. And there's a need for guys of his caliber to be a backup and hold a clipboard and just wait for the moment to go into the game to help finish out a game or help take a team for the next couple of weeks while the quarterback recovers. But again, it just shows you how really, really thin it is. If you're a quarterback in the NFL and you've got experience playing in the NFL, you're not long for a gig. Eventually, you'll land something. It may not be what you want, but eventually you'll be employed. Coming up, college basketball does have a statistical problem, and I got a perfect example of what the selection committee is going through next on SB Nation AM.
Kane is in the building now.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I got to tell you from personal experience, nothing is better than the cool, refreshing feeling of Blue Emu. especially when I'm lifting boxes. I got aches and pains like anybody else. You're not going to get any bone or odor. It's the number one selling Emu oil brand in America. It's made in America. And unlike competitors, they don't use capsaicin, which is in chili peppers. Menthol, which is an ingredient responsible for cool sensations. It just relieves the tension of the muscles. Blue Emu, again, made in America, sold in America. Number one selling Emu oil brand in the country. Blue Emu. So I said yesterday that I don't like whining and crying from teams that don't get into the NCAA tournament. I know that athletic directors have a job to do to their fan base and their alumni when they go out and they complain about not getting into a tournament. I know how the game is played, right? You have to stick up for your school. You have to support your school. If you got snubbed, even though, my God, you should find a way to get in this thing, you have an obligation to your alumni to sort of go, I think we got robbed. And then the fan base goes, yes, we got robbed. And the alumni go, yes, here's more money. We got robbed, right? That's part of the job. I get it. But I'm about to read you a quote. And it just highlights the complications of where college basketball is and is going when it comes to selecting teams for the NCAA tournament. Now, this is Debbie Yao, who's the athletic director at NC State. And NC State was one of the ACC teams that was snubbed by the committee for the tournament. Now, a lot of people look and said, NC State should have gotten in. If there's one team that got snubbed or got cheated or whatever, NC State is carrying that flag right now. But here's the quote from Debbie Yao. And just hear this out to see if this makes sense. She says, quote, NC State is ranked number 33 in the net, 32 in the KenPom, 26 in the BPI, and 24 in the Sarigan. Our strength of schedule is 179, and only the Kevin Pagua rankings is higher than the number 33 at 66. We finished 8-9 versus Quad 1 and number 2 programs in net rankings, with 5 of those games outside of our home arena, while playing 14 games against teams in the top 50 of the net rankings and having only 2 losses outside of the top 22 in the net. This includes a win against the SEC champion Auburn and 5 games against the field's number 1 seeds. Did that make any sense to any of you at all?
No, the only thing I can tell you is that she went to MIT.
There is no sense in what she just said to the average college basketball fan.
I think she's auditioning for that analytical group we talked about earlier.
She is selling you the NC State resume with this kind of information that she's right on, but to people who just go, I just like college basketball because they put the ball in the net and it's kind of fun to watch on a Saturday afternoon while I'm tooling around the house. She's trying to sell you them rather than saying we were really, really good against really, really good teams. She is telling you statistics that don't make sense to 99% of you out there. She's trying to sell you on NC State's rankings in departments that you don't know anything about. Net, KenPom, BPI, Sarigan. These are all rankings. KenPom is probably one of the more better ones in terms of usage if you're going to follow college basketball. It's the one I use. But all this other stuff is a new way of computing college basketball. I mean, think about it. Think about what she was saying. She said, we played 14 games against teams in the top 50 of the net rankings and had only 2 losses outside of the top 22 in the net. So what I'm assuming is she's saying that she played 14 games of teams in the top 50, and of those, they only had 2 losses of teams in the top 22 of that net. Ah! This is why college basketball is a problem, and this is why I don't like teams whining about how you get into the tournament. If this is your defense, if your defense is a bunch of numbers, massive and massive and massive amounts of data, I don't care. I don't care. You think I'm going to lose sleep over NC State not getting into the tournament because their strength of schedule is 179 and only the Kevin Pagura rankings is higher than a 33 at 66? I don't even know what the heck that means.
Yeah, you lost me. You were talking a whole bunch of numbers and I fell asleep. Sorry.
It is unbelievable that this is where we're at in college basketball. This is amazing that, again, to some people, what I just said makes total sense because they're knee deep in it.
Yeah,
they're
amateur
bracketologists. But that's my point. It's a very, very small group of people. This is not the way to sell your program. You want to sell your program? Tell me you beat Auburn and you beat them by 15 points or whatever it is you beat them at. You want to sell me your program? Tell me that you played Duke twice and the average margin of victory was 3.
You want to sell me your program? Tell me that, you know, you should be considered to be one of the national champions. I'm on board with like UCF being, you know, taking to football real quick. I love the fact that UCF is trying to make a claim at being a national champion by their rationale. Like transition that to basketball and say, you know, we should be in because we beat so and so. That team is in the tournament because they beat a team as what that you know we.
If you
we
want crushed. To do it that way, I don't think NC I mean, State has to do. I don't think NC State has to say we're national championship quality.
No,
I'm
not saying that. But they, I'm just using that as an analogy.
This is a better. They have to find Debbie. Wow, to her credit. Listen, she knows the numbers, right? She knows that it, by laying this out, she might be making her case to a higher level of fan, and I get that. But she can't sell me her snub with this because I was lost in the second sentence, and the second part is because I was lost in the second sentence, my theory is I now don't care. Listen. When you get to with the college football playoff, when TCU and Baylor were both snubbed, remember when they were both snubbed for Ohio State?
Yep.
I said, there's something wrong with this. The committee kept saying all year long that these teams were one of the top four teams in the nation. Neither did anything wrong in the final week of the season because they didn't play in a conference tournament. They got snubbed and got taken out. There's a little bit of outrage here, or there's at least justifiable outrage from both the Big 12 and these two schools for being kicked out of this thing. I can't buy it with NC State. I cannot buy it based on these numbers. You didn't get in because you weren't that good. And if you were better, then you would have gotten in. But you weren't. And I'm sorry you play in the ACC where the competition was tougher, but you weren't. And that's the answer. If you can't get one of 30 at-large bids, I'm sorry. I'm not gonna cry for you. I'm not going to think it's outrageous. I'm sorry.
I got a question for you. How do you think she does, and maybe this is, you know, bring validity to her argument? How does she do in the actual March Madness pool?
Yeah, very true.
Because if she breaks it down like this, I've got to see who she picks.
It's...
Because, I mean, that is beyond my thinking. I could not rationale... That's why we talked about this, why we have so much respect for bracketologists.
There's a lot of work that's involved.
Because there is a lot of work, and then instead of just, you know, watching a few games and throwing some teams, you know, on a chart.
Now, again, I use KenPom. I go by KenPom a lot.
It's, BPI, that's kind of BPI is the
BPI
other,
a little bit. I like KenPom because KenPom will give me offensive and defensive efficiency numbers if I'm really doing the kind of, you know, if I'm looking at a game or I'm trying to analyze a game or I'm researching a potential matchup. That's a really, really good. Ken Pomeroy has been, for years, been kind of the staple of this. There's a lot of other analytics that are out there in college basketball.
What were some of the other ones she used?
But she used Sarahgan, she used BPI, and she used this new thing called Net, which I haven't really gotten into, and I know they're using it where there's quad one and quad two based on quality and there's a whole complicated. It's not really that complicated, but it's a number that is used based on wins in the top 20 and top from 20 to 40 and whatever it is. So but in the end, it's all analytics. It's all number crunching. And unfortunately, I can't, you're better off telling me, like you said, we beat this team and they won the SEC championship.
Yes.
We beat this team and they were number one in the nation for a period of time. We played this team twice and split, and now they're a two seed in your tournament. Well,
the analogy I was trying to make is like, hey, we beat, insert team name here, and they beat the team that won their conference tournament.
Right.
You know, exactly. to show, hey, there is strength in our schedule as well. We may not have, you know, may not show it all, like just who we played. But if you look at our opponents who we played, they play some really great teams. Just, you can, I mean, you can go deep into that and just leave it at that. But when you start throwing all these numbers at me, it's like, no, just go to the NIT because I don't want to listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to deal with you now. If you were good enough, you would have been in. Look, I don't feel I'm sorry you play in the ACC and you have to go up against Virginia and North Carolina and Duke and Virginia Tech and Syracuse. You're playing these really, really tough teams and you may not have a great record, and that's fine, but you want to be analyzed based on the fact that you don't have a good record due to the fact that your strength of schedule is stuck. That's fine. But here's the other thing. The committee has said many, many times, look, there's a number of factors that we take into consideration, including these statistics. But we also, there's an eyeball thing that they also look at. They do their homework. I'm not saying they're always right. That's not what I'm getting at, because I don't think the college football committee always gets it right either. But I also don't think that this is outrageous that you're not in the tournament. I mean, come on. If, let's say out of nowhere, Duke didn't get in. That would be outrageous. Okay. Let's say Tennessee didn't get in. That would be outrageous. You getting in is not outrageous. It's not outrageous that you didn't get in, right? You're clumped in with a bunch of other teams that are barely got into this thing or didn't get in at all. That's the group you're in. And there was decisions made that you can argue the fine details of it, but to throw these numbers out there as if you go, oh, well, in that case, boy, what a travesty of justice. You should hire a lawyer. I mean, stop. Stop with this. It's silly. I mean, absolutely silly. And it's, again, it's hard to sell this if people don't understand what the heck you're talking about. And again, don't think that everybody who likes college basketball subscribes to KenPom or knows what the BPI is or knows what Sarigan is or knows how the net system works or all of that. They just watch college basketball because it's fun and some good players and they just have a good time with it. They don't get into all those details. And you're trying to sell that audience that detail. They're, it's over their heads. They don't want to know. It's like I go to baseball games. I sit with people who love baseball, couldn't tell you what wins above replacement, how that's even computed. They don't care. It means nothing to them. They just want to watch baseball and be left alone and go pay their mortgage and take their kids to the movies and go to their kid's softball game, whatever it is that they do on the weekends. And then they just want to watch their team play. And it's the same thing here. You should say we're good because of these reasons. Not because you're throwing 15,000 numbers at us that we have to commute in our head. Now I got to divide by pi and carry the two? I don't understand how this works. NC State got robbed. Oh, boy. All right, 800-777-2907. That is one of my pet peeves in sports. Oh, the Monday after the selection, I got TV people complaining what a travesty this is. God, this 68 teams in this stupid thing. 68. Golly, can't find a home? I mean, they give you plenty of opportunities to get in this thing. It's not like there's four teams. It's not like we go right to the Final Four, a la football. All right, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I'm trying to pick a team in the NCAA tournament that will be like a cool pick that's a little different from everybody to win the title. It's hard to do. It's so top heavy. But I'm trying to pick some team, like if I could pick a team that nobody else really has, maybe only a few people have. Like, I'm not going crazy. I'm not picking Old Dominion or anything like that. But I'm trying to find like a 4 seed, like a 3 seed that I think could go all the way and win the whole thing. And I don't want to take Tennessee. Too many of my friends are going to take Tennessee. I don't want that. So I was looking through the bracket and I don't trust Kansas. I was thinking, I like Florida State a lot, but I don't know if I like them to go to win the championship. You know how you just picture these teams and you say, there's just no way they're going to cut down the nets. There's no way there's going to be one shining moment and they're the champion. I just don't think Florida State is a championship team. I don't think Tennessee is either. So I'm trying to find one. I can't. Maryland? But they're 6. How about Wisconsin? They're 5. I don't know. I'm trying to find one. I'm trying to find some upsets too, but I'm just reluctant on upsets. My advice to you guys yesterday was, if you're filling out your bracket, you follow college basketball, but you're not totally all in, but you got to fill one out. Don't go crazy on the upsets. Just go easy. If the upsets happen, the upsets happen. Nothing you can do, but just be on the safe side. Don't go hog wild here. Did anybody have a bracket? I'm sure they did. Did anybody have a bracket last year that had UMBC over Virginia in those ESPN?
There was like a handful. I remember hearing about it. I think they were all from UMBC.
What bragging rights do you get if you picked that?
Well, I don't think it's bragging rights. I think it was students from that university who was like, yeah, why not?
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. There might have been somebody with a deep in analytics that looked at the RP, BPI, and the Ken Palm.
What was that girl's name?
Yeah, Debbie Yao.
Debbie Yao.
Yeah, maybe she broke down the Sarigan rankings for that game and said, "Well, there's a chance that the UMBC Revelers?
No, Retrievers. Retrievers,
Revelers. What is a Revelier?
I have
Stop
no idea,
just
man.
Making up words.
That's all right.
What's wrong with me?
Hey, it was believable.
What was the Retrievers?
You sold it.
Maybe she thought, oh, the Retrievers, they actually are 6.85 in the rankings of shooting from the elbow with a two-man double team and figured that was the key to it all.
You know, I be honest with you, I always thought that a number one seed could go down. I always thought it would be a team like Kentucky. You know, and hear me out. Because for years and years and years, and they're still pretty much this way, their team is led by freshmen.
Right.
Just, you know, freshmen with the God-given talent of playing, you know, playing professional basketball, but they have to sit out a year, and so they go to college. And I always thought, you know, if you have a team full of seniors who, you know, have that extra edge of maturity that they could, you know, take a freshman team, or, you know, these kids straight out of high school, basically. And I always thought there was going to be an upset, but, you know, at the end... You know, like a kid like Anthony Davis, he just has way too much talent to ever let that ever happen.
Yeah, and don't we see that occasionally when we get an upset? Usually like a senior-laden team.
Yeah.
I'll never forget
smaller schools. I mean, these smaller schools, the reason why they create so much havoc in these tournaments now is because some of the big-name schools that we know and love who are consistently at the top of the table, they have young players. They're all freshmen and sophomores. And these... Yeah. Small schools, take Yale or Gardner-Webb, because we just found out where Gardner-Webb is, or Fairleigh Dickinson. They all, I guarantee you those teams are led by seniors, 4-year college students.
Yeah, and so I remember years ago, like in the late 80s, Syracuse had a really good basketball team, but they lost to Rhode Island in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, and they lost to Rhode Island because Rhode Island was very senior-laden and experienced and could shoot, and they just took it to Syracuse. And Syracuse started making mistakes and panicked a bit, and Rhode Island won the game. One of the cool aspects was the father of one of the Rhode Island players, because they kept showing him, the father of one of the Rhode Island players was blind, and the son was doing play by play to his dad. You know, like the other son was doing. So the brother of the player was doing play by play to his dad. So his dad could see his son beating Syracuse. It was a pretty powerful moment. But again, it was the same kind of thing. They were a team that could shoot. They could shoot well. And they didn't make mistakes. They were senior led. They knew who they were. They were gelling, and they just had one of those days where things were going right, and they were in a game that people didn't think that they should be in. And when you get that situation, sometimes you go, let's take it to the finish line and let's wrap this thing up, and you do. So yeah, I mean. That's the thing. It's I always thought that too. I remember Princeton almost beating Georgetown, and my whole thought behind a 16 beating a 1 would be a situation where you would play a Princeton style offense. It was really tough, and you would lose, or 3-point shooting would get you down, knock you down. But that was in 1989 when Georgetown almost lost to Princeton. That was 1989. And I remember thinking at that time I was going to see it in my lifetime. I didn't know I was going to see it 30 years later or 31, you know, 29 years later. I thought I was going to see it pretty quickly. Like I thought, okay, this is going to set, because the tournament looked like it was evening out a little bit. Like it was, you could get these kind of upsets. You were starting to see twos lose to 15 seeds. Syracuse lost one. They were a two seed. They lost to Richmond one year as a 15. You were starting to see that a little more. And I thought, well, that's just the natural progression is the one going down to the 16. But I didn't know it was going to take 29 years to see it. And I'm really bummed I missed it. I'm really bummed I was out and about that night and it happened. And when I got home, I found out about it. So, yeah, that's the dilemma.
To be seen.
I know it should have been. That's the price you pay for taking some friends out for drinks, missing one of the biggest historical upsets in college basketball. So
that's all right. We'll have another one.
I asked a friend of mine, I said, what do you think was bigger, this or when Chaminade beat Virginia? Cause that's the one staple of them all. And they said, yeah, Chaminade, because I still don't know anything about Chaminade and I still don't know how they pulled this off. And I said, but if I gave you the circumstances to that victory, process this for a second. When Chaminade beat Virginia back in, I think, 82, right? Chaminade was part of Virginia was the number one team in the country. And they had Ralph Sampson, and they went to Japan. But when they came back, they stopped in Hawaii for this game against Chaminade, and they lost. But two things about that game. Ralph Sampson had suffered food poisoning on the trip to Tokyo and wasn't himself. But two, Chaminade had a player that played against Ralph Sampson when they were younger and knew a little bit about how to play him, knew exactly some of the things that you could get away with. And that was a beneficial. Whereas UMBC, it came out of nowhere to beat Virginia.
Welcome back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell.
All right, before we get to Buy or Sell, suffering from knee or back pain, call 800-608-1881. 800-608-1881. Learn how to live comfortably near an invisible brace that can solve your pain. 90% satisfactory rating. 800-608-1881. 800-608-1881. All right, let's do Buy or Sell. Tournament time. Ron, take it away.
The NCAA Tournament Edition. Let's see. We've had a lot of great sports conspiracy theories. You know, Michael Jordan's time away. Frozen envelope. Here's my newest conspiracy theory. It's only a matter of time before we hear a believable conspiracy theory to how Dayton always gets the first four games.
Yeah, that's a good one. There might be a simple answer to that, but I've not heard it. Is there somebody paying money under the table for Dayton to be given these precious, precious early basketball games that could have been sent around the country to various locales.
Like they do with every other round.
Right.
Should be coming to a city near you. Yeah.
I'm going to sell this. The explanation might be very simple, but I like where you're going with it. Is this a Google question? Can I ask Siri this?
I don't know. Maybe.
Why?
Does Siri talk to Google?
Why does Dayton host the play-in games? Wow, Google, that was fast. Why is the first four in Dayton doesn't really say, it just talks about its history. So, all right, well, I'll find out. One day I will find out. It's Dayton, Ohio, man. It's not like it's a population hotbed.
Had to put better music. Yeah, because it's tournament time.
All right. It says here Dayton may benefit from being the right size city. It's large enough to have the hotel, dining, and stadium infrastructure, but it's not so large that the game's being drowned out by other events. Maybe it's because it's the only thing in Dayton that we got to go see it. Maybe so.
Maybe try to make Dayton a vacation destination in mid-March.
This article just gives theories, no official explanation at all.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
All right, buyer sell number two. Schools that win their conference tournament should automatically be placed in the top 64. They shouldn't have to play their way in. This age-old question.
Okay, so meaning...
Meaning you have four 16 seeds.
Right, so if you win your conference tournament...
And two of them will not make it into the big dance.
So if you make your conference if you win your conference tournament...
You should automatically be placed in there.
And not play in Dayton. Right. Yeah. No. You should not play in Dayton if you won your conference tournament.
Yeah.
So I agree. I buy that.
You know, and so make it
reward the teams who do that,
and make it the first four games be the at-large bids. Have them fight it out.
Here's why. If you want to tell me the tournament is 68 teams and that's what you're going to live with, great. But when you moved when we begged you to name the first round, you were saying basically that the games that were at the beginning were these sort of extra games off the tournament board, if you will. But then you tell me at the same breath that winning the conference tournament is so important because it means so much. Then make it mean so much. Put them in the dance. Don't make them go to Dayton. So
right.
I agree with you.
Yep. All right. The boss button is one of the great innovations in NCAA tournament history.
It's the best. I was in a situation where I needed the boss button many, many, many years ago. I was working for a financial company in West Palm Beach. And I was couldn't wait to get back into radio because I hated the fact that I used the boss button.
Unfortunately, I've never had to use the boss button, but actually, let me take that back. You had used the boss button as well. I was working for.
I like it when I go to places and I take notes on games now. But yeah, it was probably 1999, 2000.
Yep, a long time ago.
Long time ago, and it was kind of a desk gig, but yet I had to use the boss button because I was so into scoring.
Oh, but you can't look away. I mean, I know that work productivity always goes down during this time of the year.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Thursdays and Fridays, it's a terrible work productivity day.
A friend of mine says that every year they get an email from the boss saying, I know you all like college basketball, but please remember we're still working. Like every year he says he gets the same email. So there's sort of an allowance for you to kind of watch some games and goof off a little bit. And they understand it, but they're just like, please don't slack on your projects. Basically, and please have everything turned in on time.
You know,
and
for you guys who are all having to be at a desk job and watch these games, what they should allow is there's like a 10 to 15 minute span where everyone gets to take a break to watch the ending of these games. Because that's what I love about Thursday and Friday is that it's usually there's four endings happening simultaneously.
Yeah, totally.
And you're just like, oh my God, you're on overload. And if it's not a close game, get back to work.
Yep, exactly. But the boss button is great. I love it.
Zion Williamson will feature heavily in the One Shining Moment vignette, but will not be the tournament's most outstanding player.
I'm selling that. If he's in the vignette, okay. I'm selling that. If Duke wins the title, he'll win the MVP.
Okay. That's the MOP.
Yeah, the MOP. Now, gosh.
They come on.
But yeah, no, I will buy that he'll be in the vignette. I think he'll be in the vignette.
Oh,
I think
he's definitely
gonna dunk and kill people and figuratively, not literally, you know what I mean. I think he's going to dominate, so it's he'll be in the vignette.
Gonzaga will be the first number one out of the tournament.
I'm selling that. I think the first number one out of the tournament is going to be Virginia. I don't know when, but I think it'll be Virginia.
Okay. The over-under of times mentioned of Jim Boeheim's horrific accident throughout the tournament will be at least 1.5 per game Syracuse is playing.
Ah, that's a really good one. That's a really good one. I'm going to sell it. I think they're going to keep that under wraps.
But it does get mentioned.
Oh,
that's why I didn't want to say it'll get mentioned once in the tournament, because that's a given.
I'm thinking from a broadcasting perspective, you've got to bring it up about how he's doing.
Right.
But I don't know if you bring it up again.
It's tough.
That's a really tough one. That's a really, really good number, though, that 1.5.
1.5.
That's right. So that,
because that basically, I'm just saying more than once.
They'll bring it up twice. That's a really good one, by the way.
Thank you very much.
That is really good.
I pride myself on my job.
Yes, this is excellent.
Richard Pitino will lead the Golden Gophers to an upset victory over Louisville.
How great would that be? What a great story that would be. I'm going to sell it because I don't think it's going to happen, but my God, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I would love to see it.
Could be one of your double-digit upsets.
That could be. Now,
10
could
over
be.
A 7.
You're right. It's a 10 over a 7, and it could be. I got Louisville, but I love the idea of Richard Pitino doing that. That would be kind of neat.
That would be funny.
Although it is hard. It is
hard. You know, dad's rooting for it.
Here's the deal. I, I know, but the problem is that I don't think he's avenging it. Like, I feel like Rick Pitino is...
it's an Avenger moment. Come on, Tony.
Yeah, I don't think so. So I'm going to say no, but I like the idea.
LSU's Javonte Smart will be the best player not to play in the tournament.
Yes, I'm buying that. Yeah, I like Javonte Smart. He's a good player.
I do too, but he's getting such a raw deal in this whole thing.
He is really getting a raw deal. I said this the other day. I said this to the guy we talked to about this. Look, his name is being mentioned, but you really should be linking him to something before taking away the games. Like, you should have evidence, not just somebody saying something on tape. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're caught on tape saying, oh, yeah, well, Tony didn't pay his parking ticket. You should say, well, did he pay his parking ticket or did he not pay his parking ticket? We're not going to just take Ron's word for it. Like Javonte Smart, his family may have gotten some benefits, but find out first before you suspend the kid in the tournament. It shouldn't take much of research. So, all right. I love these.
Murray State, led by Ja Morant, is everyone's pick as the 12th seed to upset a fifth seed.
I'm buying this completely. I've got it. Even though Marcus Howard is really good for Marquette, Ja Morant and Murray State, he's awesome. And I think everybody's got that one.
Yeah,
everybody,
I do too.
Everybody loves the matchup because of the two players.
Well, everyone is always seeking out that 12 seed that's going to upset a fifth seed, and it just kind of plays in with, you know, one of the best players in college basketball.
Yeah, that's right.
Being on a 12-seeded team.
Yep.
You know, kind of like is almost a magical thing happening right there. All right, and finally, Duke will be cutting down the nets in Minnesota, defeating North Carolina, but that's not the buy or sell. The buy or sell is that there are already crying Jordan memes at the ready.
Absolutely buying this. Buying it and locking and loading it. It's awesome. Buy, buy, buy. Yeah, they'll be crying. Yes, I agree. That's the buy or sell. I'm taking that. That's awesome.
I mean, I don't know if, you know, lots of things could happen in the tournament. We don't know if Duke and North Carolina can face up each other. It's possible, but I have to believe that somebody is there. There are a whole group of people who have crying Jordan memes ready to go.
Yep, exactly. I agree completely. that's awesome. All right, are we done with buy or sell?
Yep.
Well, buy or sell is locked in. That was good. Very good ones. Very, very good ones. That Jim Boeheim one, I'm now curious. I'm now going to be paying attention to this.
It's tough.
I watched
it. It's tough. I felt almost dirty putting that in there, but
it's a weird storyline to do in this because, again, I mean, there's a death. He's been really, he's gone through a lot with that death. He got a little criticism for coming right back. Remember when he was on the sidelines with their I think it was against Duke, if I'm not mistaken. But nevertheless, no, I don't think it was against Duke because I think, yeah, maybe it was. But he got a lot of criticism for that. But there's really no right or wrong answer to that. He did not shy away from it. He did not, you know, lay it down, try to avoid it. He's been talking about it, how affected he is. He's trying to get through it. He's trying to help the family. He wasn't at fault. So I think when you do the broadcast, I think it would be wise if you are producing that particular broadcast to put that in this context about his mindset going into the tournament with that. But at the same time, I don't think you overblow it. But 1.5 seems like not a weird number, but a good number because you might want to do it twice, but you could also see them just doing it once and getting out of that and then not bringing it up again. But I think one is apropos. So very good buy or sell. We'll come back on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us again, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. So the NCAA tournament for the next 3 weeks. Now the Final Four is in Minneapolis. It was a good place to have the Final Four. It's pretty good. It's a good city.
Yeah, there seems to be this trend where the Final Four is following the Super Bowl.
Yeah, around. Yeah, the big, you know, big nice stadium. Those arenas though are where it's at. I don't like the big stadiums. I don't like the football stadiums. Remember when you added an NRG? Isn't it odd? Yeah, it's just it's massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the last time the Final Four. If I'm not mistaken, I'll have to look this up, but my memory, and I'm pretty good at this kind of stuff. I think the last Final Four that was not played in a massive football stadium was in 1996 when Kentucky won the national title against Syracuse.
In Dayton?
And that was played, in Dayton. That was played in New Jersey. That was played at the where the Nets played. I don't know the name. East Rutherford, the stadium, the arena there. But if I'm not mistaken, I think after that, every one of them has been played in a relatively large football-like complex. So I've heard stuff about, hey, listen, the depth perception is off, the shooting is off, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not.
Have the Gene Hackman moment. Yeah. Go up there, just take a tape measure. It's like, same.
Yeah, I can't imagine that is. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if that's the case, you're talking about 20 plus years of data that you have to. I mean, you could go by and say, "Wow, this is odd."
Last year, you know, it was held in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome, and I think the Alamo Dome. I mean, it does house a football team. It houses, you know, your San Antonio Commanders. I believe, is that what they're called?
I believe that's true. Yeah,
Commanders. I don't know what their – I can't remember what their name is. But, it is a football stadium, but it didn't have that – it's not as grand as, say, NRG Stadium is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So there was still like a close – there felt like there was a close feeling still to the court.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I don't know. Is this going to be at this gigantic place?
I think it is.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's not. I mean, this is – you want to get 60-something thousand people.
You want to sell tickets.
Yeah. Remember, they used to have it at the Superdome. I don't think it's been at the Superdome in a while, but that's where Chris Webber called his infamous non-timeout. I mean, then you see the crowd and you're like, how do people up there even see the game? They're just buying tickets so they can watch it on the big Jumbotron. Like, because it's got to be impossible when you're in the upper deck of the Superdome to see a basketball game on the field. Like, you probably can't see a thing. I went to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16 Elite Eight matchups at Madison Square Garden, and it's so cozy. Like I had good seats, but still, it's cozy enough as you're watching. You can watch basketball, but in a football arena, ay, ay, ay. You gotta be careful where you plop that. You know, plop yourself down because you won't watch a lot of good basketball. You'll be watching it on the big screens. But anyway, this is gonna be a fun time. I love it. I just like this time of year. It's kind of neat because I like it because as much as I follow college basketball, this is what I like. As much as I follow college basketball and I'm into it and I read up about it, I get to this thing and I'll finish middle of the pack in these office pools, man. I finish close to last. I'm X-ing out these teams. And I like that because I don't want this. Yeah. I like this tournament where it's so unpredictable that the experts aren't on top of it.
I always seem to start off hot and then just dies quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, I'm a brilliant guy. I'm a bracketologist, and then I didn't do the numbers correctly.
When you give me that kind of tournament, when you give me that kind of excitement and unpredictability, I kind of like it.
Tournament start today?
So the tournament starts on Thursday. Sorry, the tournament starts on Thursday. Sorry, playing games, but we'll talk about you tomorrow.